Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, Brother Ray.
Shabbat shalom, Brother V. Are we online? We live what?
Yeah, we online and we live. And just want to say Shabbat shalom to the people. My Brother Ray, he got a lesson for us. And but I just want us to be able to go into prayer.
Absolutely.
All right. And then I'm going to turn it over to you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it.
So be it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, brother, it's all yours.
All right. All right, shalom, Ak. You have a good Sabbath day.
You too.
All right. That was our Elder V. V the preacher. Him and Sister Tama going to get refreshed and renewed here on this Sabbath day. And we give all praises to the Most High because you didn't come here to listen to Brother V. You can come here to listen to Brother Ray. What you did was want to reach out and have a sign between you and the Creator, that you wanted to spend time wanting that Ruach to come down upon you. So we reach out for brothers in the truth, and we are thankful that the Most High has sent us an elder, Brother B, that wants to shout out loud and spare not, that wants to lift up the name of the Most High, Ani Ashar, Ani Haya, Ashar, Ani Haya. I am that I am, who was, who will, and who is everything to every man, woman, and child on this planet. So today I'm going to talk about us as Hebrews, brothers and sisters, that worship the Father. And what does it mean to worship our Father? He tells us, as us being servants of the Most High, we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So what does that mean, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth? Does that mean that we have big old parties, celebrations? Does it mean that we can go to any church, any day of the week, anytime we see fit? What does it mean to worship our Father in that way? So we're going to look at the Word so we can get a clear understanding what it means to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We're going to start off in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Going down to about verse, let's look at 24. All right, we're going to start actually in verse 22. And it reads, "Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So, we have the assembly, a congregation, the seekers of the Most High. We need to know exactly what spirit and in truth is. So first we're going to look at truth is Christianity. The truth is Judaism. Is that a truth? How about Buddhism? See, as you look on these religions across this vast planet, they all think they have some truth, but they're all robbers and stealers, and they take small fragments of our Father's truth, the one we call Abba, and then they put their own spin and their own doctrine on it. But we're going to look exactly what is our Abba's truth, because he wouldn't leave us void of knowing it. He calls us friends if we keep his commandment. And he said he doesn't keep anything hidden from us. So we're going to look at Exodus 31. We're going to go there first because we want to know what truth is. And we're going to go down to about, start at verse 12. Exodus 31, verse 12, and it says, "And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am Yah that doth sanctify you. Ye should keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is a set apart unto you. Every one that defile it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, a set apart to Yah. Whosoever doeth any works in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel should keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made the end of his communion with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of stone, tables of stone written with the finger of Ani, Haya, Ashar, Ani, Haya. So we look at this, and we can read this out the manuscript, that we're reading what truth is. Truth is that on the seventh day, when the sun goes down, what the heathens call Friday, until it goes down on Saturday, is an appointed time. It's a sign between you and your Creator. It's a sign that you know who He is, the authority that He has on this planet, that He made this day for the children of Israel. It was made that we could commune with the Creator and become closer to Him, knowing what His kingdom is and the things that He has set apart for His kingdom. We're going to go to Leviticus 23. Start at verse 1. We're not going to read all Leviticus 23, just a portion of it. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, concerning the feast of Yah. And the feasts are, in the Hebrew word, moedim, and they mean appointed times, which you shall proclaim to be set apart convocation, even these are my feasts. So they're not GLCC feasts. They're not GMS feasts. They're not Brother Hebrew One's feasts. They're not Brother V's feasts. It's not Brother Ray's feasts. It's not the children of Israel's feasts. It's not Moses' feasts. It's not none of our appointed times, but it's the Creator's appointed time. It's the Most High's appointed time on Him. And then verse 3 tells you 6 days you'll do work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a set-apart convocation. So it's set apart from everything else you do, a convocation. Thus meaning and having what we say a holy assembly. Down at verse 5, it says on the 14th day of the first month, at even, is Yah's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yah. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day you shall have a set apart convocation. You shall do no soul of our work therein. Here we see that the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, again, another appointed time. Verse 9, we skip it now to. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye go, become into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. You shall bring forth sheep of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priests. You shall have a weed sheaf before Yah to be accepted for you. And on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. He shall offer that day when the weaned sheaf and in the lamb without blemish of the first year of a burnt offering to Yah. So we see the start of the first fruits. And we know that the first fruits, after that starts, we have the feast of weeks. And we count Sabbaths, seven Sabbaths, which would be 49 days. And then on that 50th day, with the English tongue called Pentecost, which you'll have some heathens. And again, this shows you what truth is. The heathens will make a whole doctrine, a whole religion on what the word Pentecost is in their own era, particular parts of truth. But we know that's the Feast of Weeks, a day that is kept forever throughout your generations. We're going to scoop down to 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the seventh month is the first month. Ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of the trumpet, a set apart convocation. You should do no soul work, an offering made by Yah. And then we go down to the Day of Atonement, where we need to fast, put on sackcloth and ashes, afflict our souls, ask the Most High for forgiveness for all the things we've done. And then the feast day that we come up, I mean, what you can think of is the best barbecue on the planet. Because on the first day, have a Sabbath day. We have no work whatsoever, no servile work. It's a holy convocation. It's what we do to get the party started, as you want to say. But on the eighth day, when it comes to the end, we have a Sabbath day, a set apart day for the Most High. But in between that, we have a fire, a barbecue, as you want to say. Things put out to the Most High for all that duration every day. And that's the Feast of Booths, Tabernacle. And he says that we do these things to let Israel know that we were the one that dwells in booths. And we keep these things, he says, at the end of Leviticus 23, throughout our generations. He said, you should keep it a feast unto Yah, 7 days in the year. It should be a statute forever in your generations. You should celebrate it in the seventh month. So here we're looking at what truth is. The truth is that in our Father's kingdom, there are set apart days. Now, what spirit are we supposed to come in? See, the spirit, or the fruits of the spirit, when we come together on this weekly Sabbath day, you got to check the malice at the door, the envy, the lust, the hatred. See, the Most High can dwell in you if you can't stand your brother, or if you're making up a doctrine on the Sabbath day just so you can get back at somebody else. You could talk bad, point out their faults. See, when we come together on a Sabbath day, we must have the Spirit of the Most High come on a Sabbath day, this weekly feast, and want to be channel surfing, going up and down the TV looking for another spirit. The only spirit we need to be searching for is that Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit, that's set apart. You can't be listen to Tupac, Biggie, the greatest Jamaican hits. Listen to that music that's going to elevate the kingdom. It's going to sing to your Elohim. It's going to sing to the Creator. It's going to sing to I Am. You've got to be in the spirit that the Most High wants you to be in. When you have food that you come, it's simple. You only take the food that's in the dietary law. No more, no less. But the real food that you're looking for is that word when you come together. Just like you see in Luke 4:16, it was Yeshua's custom to read out of the book every Sabbath day. So that must be our custom to read out the book every Sabbath day. See, we want to line up our spirit with his spirit to do the things that he taught us to do as his disciples. He tells us as his disciples, his marching orders to teach this gospel of what we're talking about to every nation, every kingdom, to anybody that has eyes to see and ears to hear. Why do we teach this gospel to every creature and every kingdom? First and simply, just because it's a command. It's not what you want to do. It's not the top 10 suggestions. It's not to do if it feels good to you, if you think it's right. No. If you are Israel, if you want to be that remnant, which is a small remaining part of Israel, if you want to be the elect, which is the chosen people of Yah, if you want to be in Holy Zion, where the remnant and the elect will be, New Jerusalem brought down, then you must keep these commandments. Now, the Most High says that we must go out to every kingdom, Christians, to the Muslims, to the Asians, to the Arabs, and teach them what we just talked about, that there ain't no Sunday worship here. There's the Sabbath day. There ain't no confusion. And we got to tell our Hebrew brothers and sisters there ain't no such thing as trying to turn it up on our Father's Sabbath day. But it's getting into the right spirit with the Most High, our Creator. See, in Mark, I think we have Mark 14. He tells us to go out to the kingdom or go out to the world and teach this gospel to creature in the kingdom. What does it mean to teach it to every creature in the kingdom? In Matthew 24, he tells us to go to every nation, to every tongue, and teach this gospel. So we must be obedient. Now, in America, America has Christmas, Easter, New Year's Eve, Thanksgiving, Mother Father's Day, Valentine's Day. See, in their kingdom, that's their appointed times. And again, we got loved ones, brothers and sisters, wives, children, that believe that that is a correct point in time. Some of them believe in foolishness and heart. Christmas and Easter, that's in the Word. You can't find that in our manuscript. It's not in our blueprint of how we're supposed to live. But they believe those are appointed times. The appointed times are the appointed times I just told you. So again, we must be teaching this kingdom to them. See, the Babylonian tells you that they had Tammuz and Nimrod and Semiramis. And in their kingdom, they had the weeping of Tammuz. They did that for 40 days. And if you listen to those Catholics, they call the Weeping of Tammuz Lent. But in Ezekiel, it tells you have nothing to do with the Weeping of Tammuz. That's an abomination. That we don't have anything to do with these other nations' customs and traditions. That is for their world. That has no place and no business in the nation of Israel. So we go to Ezekiel 8. And he tells us, as he told our prophet, in verse 12, then he said, he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber of his imaginary. For they say, Yah seeth us not. Yah hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of Yah, house which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn ye yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. See, the brothers and sisters in Christianity still do the Weeping of Tammuz. In Jeremiah chapter 10, he tells you don't have nothing to do with the custom of cutting down a tree. He tells you not to have nothing to do with a custom of dragging it to your house, erecting it with nails and screws, and decorating it with silver and gold. These are abominations to the Most High. That's the reason why we teach these nations that the kingdom is coming, and the kingdom has appointed times. Now, China, they have their holidays and traditions in their kingdom. A Chinese New Year, a Lantern Festival, a Xingan Festival, which is a Blue Dragon Festival. Russia has their holidays and traditions. A New Year, a Christmas Orthodox, an Old New Year, a St. Valentine's Day, a Defender of the Motherland Day. An International Women's Day, a Victory Day. Australia, they have their holidays and traditions. Australia Day, a Labor Day, Easter, an Anzac Day, a Queen's Birthday, a Christmas Day, a Boxing Day. The Iranians, they have their holidays and traditions. On Nowruz Day, Islamic Day. See, we only supposed to keep the customs that Most High has taught us. We only keep His tradition, call those things His appointed times. We call them by name. And we seek His spirit for those days. Now, the Christians will come back at you with foolishness. They'll say that Paul, well, he didn't have to keep none of those days. That Paul is the reason why that only thing we need to do is have Christ, and that's good enough. They say damnable heresies to the children of Israel. We know they say them. So let's do quick what Paul actually taught. Because again, we're looking at truth. And we look at Acts 28. Paul says that he only taught out of the book of Moses. that he had no other teaching that he was speaking from. Verse number 23, Acts 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodge, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yah, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And when some believed these things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word, well spake the set apart spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. So he taught them out of the law of Moses and the prophet, not my words, but Shaul's words. Acts chapter 15. Go down to verse 20. And it reads, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from being strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city they preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So that was Paul, who you call Paul, telling anybody that is confused that you read out of the books of Moses every Sabbath day. He didn't teach them to read it on a different day. See, Shaul, he taught the Jews and Gentiles on the first day of the week, on a Tuesday maybe. Then he teach them in the midst of the week. Paul taught the Jews and the Gentiles on the Sabbath day. Again, that is truth. Not what some man has made up. Not what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching our Hebrew-like brothers and sisters. We follow what is written in our manuscript. We read what's in the book, Acts 17 and 2. It was his custom, Paul, to go into the synagogue and teach on the Sabbath day, reasoning with the Jews out of the scriptures. And because the Gentiles wanted to hear the same teaching, they came the next Sabbath day to hear these words. All that is truth. Now let's get to the Spirit. Acts 15. The Jews were upset that the Gentiles were coming in. We can look back in our father's manuscript, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Tells us in Deuteronomy that the heart, the circumcision of the heart is what he's looking for. He's not looking for that circumcision of the flesh. I said Deuteronomy chapter 18. I was wrong. Bear with me, brothers and sisters. I'm going to keep going, though. The circumcision of the heart is what the Most High is looking for. The circumcision that the Most High is giving to Abraham had. He was already circumcised before that even took place. He was already a friend to the Most High. See, what they didn't understand is that there's a circumcision that needs to supersede that of the flesh. When we're talking about the Spirit. We are actually talking about a relationship with the Most High. Deuteronomy 10 tells you to circumcise your hearts. Deuteronomy 30, we'll go there first. And it reads, "And Yah the Elohim will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to the love of Yah, thy Elohim within all thy heart and with all thy soul, that they mayest live. The laws that were written down with the tables of stone need to be in your heart." We see the same teaching out of another prophet, Jeremiah. We'll go to Jeremiah chapter 4. And he tells you to circumcise yourself to Yah and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. We're going to go down to verse 31. Hey, here we go. Verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." See, you're see the same writing in what we call the New Testament in Hebrews. See, when he was breaking this down to them in the 15th chapter of Acts, he wasn't breaking down to them that there was no more circumcision. He was telling them that they weren't even in the right spirit for the circumcision. That you can have all this malice, anger, and hate for those that want to keep the commandments, for those that want to be grafted in. The commandment that he gave to the disciples to go teach this gospel to every creature. Do you want, in this day and age, a police officer pull you over and have reverence for our Elohim? To have reverence for the word, and want to keep the law, statutes, and commandments? Or do you want another nation to pull you over and hate the children of Israel? See, we see the abundance of those that hate Israel. We see our death all the time in media, on social media, cell phone videos, TV. See, we want the nations to fear our God. So we teach them who he is. This gospel is a witness against all these nations. But we'll keep going, because we want to know what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. We can go to Matthew 24, verse 14. In the Most High, we'll read this Matthew 24. he's telling us how this is going to be the end of all things, the end of the world. And the disciples were seeking this knowledge from him. We're going to start at verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. You got to tell these heathens who the Creator is. Tell these heathens and the children of Israel who is our power, his appointed times. In the book of Colossians, these are just a shadow of the goodness to come. So when we come together, again, it's not so someone can drop it like it's hot. It's not so we can reminisce about Luther Vandross' greatest hits. It's to show reverence to our Elohim, our Creator, so we can be refreshed. We are supposed to be a light unto the world. How are we being a light unto the world if we come together on one of our Father's appointed times and we do the same crap they do on a Christmas day? We have now made a clean day an unclean day. So we know what the truth is. So you have to give all diligence to get into the Spirit. Give all diligence to add to your faith. See, we as the children of Israel, we are called to be set apart, to walk a different path, to die unto this world, to die unto their traditions and their customs, and only keep the commandment of the Most High. So, when we come to these appointed times, we come with music to elevate our Elohim. For the music, that's what he's telling us, should be set apart. It shouldn't be the music of the world. The food that we bring, again, should be set apart. The only thing that we bring is the commandments that the Father has given us in our dietary law. But the most important food is the Word. We should only be speaking His words. Our own thoughts, we got to check them at the door when the assembly comes together. Hebrews 10:25, it tells us, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. And we got to understand that Hasatan, he can't stand when us Hebrew brothers and sisters are trying to get together. He'll mess with the airwaves that we're trying to do to spread this gospel. He'll get out on this internet to stop this word from trying to go out. He'll jump into loved ones. Put it, as some young people talk about, a root. He'll put something on your loved ones to put them in the wrong spirit, to put hatred in their heart, envy, malice, so you can't come together at the appointed times. We have to know what we're dealing with. We have to rebuke. We have to rebuke Satan, and he will flee. But we cannot rebuke a blade of grass that blows into our house if we're not walking with our Abba. We can't stop nothing that's coming our way if we don't stay building up this kingdom. Now, we talk about worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. How can you be in the spirit of the Most High if you got pharmakia, drugs, alcohol? See, He tells us that we need to be sober-minded. He tells us that we need to stay away from those things that will cloud your mind, that twist your heart, because the heart is more deceitful than anything else. So we need to have the fruits of the Spirit. And they need to drive in you richly. We're going to read out of Galatians chapter 5. Start at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto the liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another. So here, we got to find a way to love Israel, love one another, love the ones that want to keep the commandments. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Some of y'all don't even know how to love yourselves because you don't know how to keep the commandments. Again, it's not the top 10 suggestions. Stay away from idolatry. Keep the Father's feast days. Love and honor your mother and father. Don't be having lust, envy, and hatred. Looking out your window, checking out the neighbor's wife, or checking out the neighbor's husband, lusting after their own children. Don't be upset because somebody in the neighborhood just pulled up with a brand new car and got some rims on it. That ain't going to get them into the kingdom. Why would you want to have that malice on your heart because somebody's got a car or they got some jewelry, what they call bling bling? That can't get them into the kingdom. Don't you know the Most High made every diamond, every gold? He could decorate you with anything if you make it to the other side. Verse number 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This is I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh loveth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, imitations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and such a like, of them which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. So, when we come together in fellowship, when we keep in these feast days, when we teach in the kingdom of the gospel, are you going out there teaching the kingdom of the gospel and you're an adulterer? You lust in the same fornications that the ones around you are in. They sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and so are you. They can pull up their cell phone and see all sorts of naked bodies, and you right along there with them, talking about you a Hebrew, talking about you a commandment keeper, talking about you set apart, but you got lasciviousness all in your heart, idolatry. They got the Virgin Mary plugged up. They got Baphomet t-shirts on. They got Jay-Z. They got football jerseys on. they're celebrating the games and what that person just did. They love Stephen Curry and a new team, and you right along there with them. They talk for 6 hours throughout the whole day about everything else but the Father. And you throw in one sentence? See, idolatry is these fake idols that these people have turned into gods. You have to rebuke that. Even if you have to work, job you by yourself. Because you can't have, how can two of you walk together unless you're in agreement? So if the world is in agreement with idolatry and you walking along with them, crap. All these drugs they're putting out, and they tell you to get you into another spirit. Channel surfing. You're surfing for unclean spirits. Programming. You're trying to get programmed. Hatred. How can you come to the feast day, open up the book, and have hatred for your brother and your sister? Hatred for the one that's trying to lead you astray. You know the Most High is going to deal with these people. Drunkenness. Some people think coming to the feast day is all about getting tore up or what kind of food they can have. That's the reason why they'll bring unclean food into it. Because they drunken on, as they see in the Sunday churches. Can't wait to get some pig feet. Can't wait to get some collard greens. Woo, they're going to make some macaroni and cheese. Can't wait. Hurry up, put your clothes on and get down to the church. Sister Betty made her cornbread. They can't wait to get to the food. But the only food that we truly are supposed to be searching for is the Word. But this is what you're supposed to bring to the feast days. This is what you're supposed to bring to the Sabbath day. This is what you're supposed to bring into your home, into with your family. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in the Messiah have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, if you come to the feast days of love and joy, peace, long-suffering, because you know that everybody in the house of Israel ain't keeping the same commandments. So you got to be as long-suffering with these commandments as the Most High was with you, because it took you decades. And turn Pat from that evil path that you were walking on and try to walk the path of righteousness. It took decades for you to get off the broad path and start walking this narrow path. It took decades for you to call on His name. It took decades for you to have the faith knowing that He takes care of everything. See, we wait and have long sufferingness. We bring gentleness to our loved ones and goodness and faith, temperance. See, these are the things that fulfill the Most High's word. You got to learn to walk in the Spirit, because the Father requires us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we have the truth part laid out. Now look for the Spirit, that Ruach. The same thing in Acts 2. That they were able to hear the word and understand the word in every language that was spoken. You should understand. If a Chinaman is speaking, Iranian man is speaking. He yelled, Allah, Akbar, nah, we ain't nowhere, Allah. We keep the Sabbath day. We ain't keeping your Buddhist traditions. See, if he's lighting a bunch of candles, putting on some gold idol, bending down his knees, nah, I'm not with that, partner. See, I understand that I keep the Sabbath day. I understand that my temple is me. I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice to the Most High. So for anybody to get a chance to listen to this, again, don't let them Christians or the ones with partial truth tell you that Paul didn't keep these commandments. Because you could give them to the same scriptures I just gave you. Don't let them tell you that in the kingdom there's no more appointed times. That's foolishness. You wake up, every kingdom on this planet have their appointed times right now. And it's not because they decide to have their own appointed times, it's because they immolate in the kingdom to come. Because the Most High, from the beginning of time, gave us an appointed time. We wouldn't know what an appointed time was if he didn't give us a Sabbath day. That's why every kingdom keeps 7 days in a week. It's not by accident. It's by ordained ordinance from the Most High. Hope we got some understanding in our Father's name that the truth is we keep the Word as it is, that the Word is perfect at converting your soul. But then you must give all diligence to make sure that you're getting into the spirit of what the Word is saying. Because that is what the Father is seeking for you to do. We're going to close out with a prayer to our Creator. If you want to pray with me, men, we'll make sure that we're uncovered and we're facing Holy Zion, where New Jerusalem will come down. In America, we tell you that's east, but in the spirit, in your heart, you know you're facing where New Jerusalem is coming down. For any woman that wants to pray with me, cover your head right now. Again, you're going to face New Jerusalem. We're going to pour out our soul to our Abba right now. In the land of this captivity that we are in. And please believe, if you're in the nation of Israel, no matter where you act, you're in the land of your captivity. We going to be in that land of our captivity, just like he tells in Luke 21, now verse 23. We'll be there until he comes back and gets us. Our Elohim, with a mighty hand, is going to recover us from the four corners that he spread us in. So with that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come to you today humbly, Father, telling you thank you for your precepts, your laws, commandments. We especially thank you for the spirit that you've given to us, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we can somehow, with our offering, be pleasing in your sight, that you can convert this man or this woman that's praying for you right now to be a new creature and be worthy of your love and your compassion in this hour. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for our forefathers that have already went on. We pray for the generation that is here right now and for the generations to come, Father, that in this hour, as Israel, with the guidance of your hand, is awakening that we can keep teaching this gospel of the kingdom, that the generations that come will grow even stronger in this world, no matter what is happening on this planet around us, no matter of the wars or the rumors of wars, because we know of pestilence and famine and all these things that have to come. But they're by your ordained order, that you will take care of your remnant, that you will seal her at its appointed time, that you will resurrect us in the same like manner as the first fruits, if we can stay humble and keep with your commandments. Father, we pray for that Ruach, that we can have a good spirit, that we can walk this path in righteousness' sake, that we will not let the things of this world or the cares in this world get in our way from serving you, that there's nothing on this planet that would keep our eyes off the prize. There's nothing on this planet that would deter us from having this one hope, the hope of entering into the kingdom. We pray that you will strengthen us in this hour, that you will shut us up, and only the words that you will hear out of Israel is the words that you want us to speak, that you will order our steps and guide our path and direction that leads to New Zion. We pray all this in your Son's name, who gave us the ultimate sacrifice so we could once again be remarried to you in righteousness and be brought up in baptism as a new creature. We say thank you in the Hebrew tongue, Todah Rabbah, for your love and your kindness and your mercy. We pray this in the name of Yeshaya HaMashiach. Let the congregation say amen. Hallelujah. With that, I'm going to let you go. Again, Brother V, Sister Tama, all blessings and great glory to you and your household in the name of our Father. May he guide you and keep you. To the rest of the brothers and sisters, may the Most High guide you and keep you and bless you. Keep you safe in this hour. Strengthen your hands that you can spread this gospel and stand on this word. Shabbat Shalom, Israel.